Okay, everybody, we have a special guest on Outsource to Profits. We have Dan Markland, and he owns a firm, Accountability Now. He is a CEO and a coach of an award-winning firm that focuses on sales and marketing strategies to help companies go from zero to $10 million. Don, thank you so much for joining the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm just excited to be here and talk about something, especially with outsourcing. You know, I spent about 15 years of my life in the BPO space, and particularly with offshoring and that whole world, and I'm excited to talk about that.
Fantastic. So as you know, the way that we like to film these is we pick one topic and we pull in that thread for 10 to 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
I'll set up the topic here. So here's the situation. You're a founder that's got it into their heads, it's time to hire a virtual assistant, or it's time to hire marketing support, sales support, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're a chief revenue officer, chief marketing officer. You've probably thought through a single initiative that you have a problem with. You have a database structural problem. You have emails and your calendar looks like a closet nobody wants to enter. So what do? You hire a virtual assistant. But this, a couple weeks in, is where everything falls off the rails. Now, what you're going to do is end up blaming the virtual assistant for the problem. So I'm going to pass the ball to Don. He's been doing this for 15 years. He's seen the good and bad and the ugly. Using that setup, where do people go wrong? How do we course correct and prepare a founder for success?
That is, what a great setup. I see this all the time, you know, in our coaching world and even when I was in the outsourcing world for as long as I was, because oftentimes founders run into this problem or executives run into this problem when they're, and what happens is because of this problem, they get a bad taste in their mouth for VAs or executive assistants or even outsourcing in general. And they think the entire model is flawed or wrong. So the metaphor I use to teach them this is I say, look, that would be, you know, I know we've talked about having children before and our kids, and that would be like when you had your 5 or your 6-year-old and you would tell them, hey, I'm going out tonight. I want you to clean the entire house and also build the deck and also fix the car. And you give them this whole list of tasks and then leave. That's what you're doing to a VA. You're saying, hey, I want you to do all the problems that I've never been able to do in my 15-year career. I want you to just magically do, because now I've hired you and I'm paying you a fraction of what I pay myself. Go figure it out. And then you're leaving. And then you're pissed off after 2 weeks that they haven't done it. And that's what I have told numerous executives. What are you mad at? Because that's the reality you've given them. So step number one, all these executives and business owners, is hiring an outsourced VA or team. If you haven't defined the process yourself first, you cannot expect an outsourced team to define it for you. So before you go and hire anyone else, take the time to define the process yourself, or work with great partners. Many of these great partners will actually work with you to define the process first. That'll be part of their onboarding process. The really, really good ones will say, hey, let's define the process first before we hire your VA. And so you define the process first. And when I say define it, go into minute detail, log in here, click here, like step by step by step. Like you talked about the messy closet, like put the shirts away here, fold it this way here. And that's the part that forces you to really slow down. And by the way, that forces you to realize when you go through that process, you do the Marie Kondo effect. That's this Netflix show where you start to realize, I've got so much junk that doesn't even matter. That exercise is so powerful as an owner or an executive that you just start to realize there's a lot of things that we do that we don't need to do anyway. It's really, really powerful. So that's step number one. Then step number two is when you then hire a VA, they are so trained on what is the actual process that moves the needle that when they now start to take it over and start to run with it and you actually have them doing something that's effective for you, you have so much time of your life back that you can really put your time, creativity, and energy on things. It's unbelievable what you're allowed to do. I wish I could articulate in terms of dollars that what I've seen myself, right? I have multiple VAs for myself, but I've seen it with all of our clients. One of the first things that we do with our clients is that we work with partners like with your business and others to get with really great VAs so that they can free up their time to work on growing and scaling their business. And it's unbelievable what happens.
This is fantastic. I want to recap some things and we're going to dive in.
Yes. So
what I love that you said, and I'm going to pull towards step number two. What you're actually really doing is hiring to buy back your time. There's one of the founders, his name's Dan Martell, wrote a book called Buy Back Your Time. It just came out around Christmas of 2023. And it's really about founders have a superpower of doing what 5 to 10 other mortal people can do or employees can do. And so by buying back your time, it gives you the opportunity to be able to focus on what I call $500 an hour value creators. And unfortunately, though, to your point, founders think, I'm going to give people tasks. I'm going to give the virtual assistants, executive assistants, support tasks of things I don't like doing and or can't do myself. But if you can't teach somebody to do it, it's never going to work. What you're really focusing on is buying back your time so you can focus on the big rocks. What I want to pull on, can you go back into step number one, maybe get tactile for a second. What does that standard operating procedure playbook? You talked about documenting the process in advance. How have you done this tactically in the past? What does that playbook look like? So when the VA shows up on day one, or maybe you're co-developing it together in the onboarding process, but structurally, what does that look like to you?
Some of the first tasks that we do when we're trying to do it, because getting it out of people's brains is sometimes the hard process. One of the ways I relate it, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, there was this music downloading music site called Napster. Okay. And this is a silly story, but this music site called Napster. And there was always this joke when you would try to go download music from Napster, nobody could ever remember. I remember everybody, we always joked, you'd sit down and you could never remember what music to download. Like you'd be out with your friends and you'd be like, oh, I know these songs. But then you'd sit down at your computer and you could never think of anything on the spot. Same problem happens with entrepreneurs. Like you'd be talking on the phone with people and you'd be like, oh, this is stuff I need my EA to do or my VA to do. But then when you sit down to actually think about it in the moment, you're like, oh, I can't think of anything. So step number one is I tell them to take their phone and get a little note on their phone and say, okay, I just want you to, for 1 week, start to just track in real time tasks or things that are repetitive part of your standard operating procedures, not the actual what it is, but just start making your running list of things that are reoccurring in your day to day. Too many times we get stuck in the weeds of what they actually are. The first week is just about what is regularly and reoccurring. So just make your note. Then step two, the second week, is we're going to do something like this. I'm going to have us do like a Zoom call or have them do a Zoom call or a Loom call. That would be like where we're going to screen record and we're going to do the doing. And I'm going to have them record them doing it. And they're just going to talk out loud while they do it. Like I'm logging in here. I'm doing this. And I'm going to have them explain every step of the process and explain why they're doing it. Like if they're doing a bookkeeping thing or if they're doing a you know, any type of a task. If they're, this is how we file a report, or this is how we create this thing. And each step of it, they're explaining why they're doing it the entire way. And it's amazing that process is creating their SOP and it's creating their training video. So by the time we hire this VA, we have not only the SOP, but the training document. So when the VA is hired, they have straight from the horse's mouth how to do the task, why it's important, and what the impact it has on the overall business. So when the VA, too many times when a VA is hired, they only know what the task is. They don't know the impact of it has on the business. And it's amazing when a VA understands the impact and the how and the why of the task, they are so much better. You know this firsthand, because then they become empowered to make better decisions in the business. They're just not robotic. And so that's how we do it tactically to make them more effective.
You said something really important. I created a free resource on our website. It's a centralizing document where you capture your $5 an hour tasks versus your $500 an hour value creators. And you and I are very much aligned on follow yourself or whomever you want to create the VA for. Follow yourself for a few days or a week. And every time you do something, no matter if it only takes you 5 minutes, document it in two columns. One, it's a $5 an hour task. I'll give an example. A $500 an hour value creation is the act of being on a prospect call, convincing that prospect to maybe move towards proposal. But the database it took, so you needed to find contact information or you needed to take
the right notes
from that meeting and put it in your CRM, that's a $5 an hour task. What ends up happening is you ask a founder to start documenting these things and you end up with a surprising list. In the sales community, it's 20% of a seller's week is unfortunately spent in administrivia. Now for founder-led sales, it's probably very similar. So I'm going to tell a quick story and then I'd love a story
Please.
To hear. And this comes around this founder-led sales. In my very first company, Sales for Life, we grew from zero to $3 million really quickly. And I was unfortunately so stuck in Dan Martell's concept of the replacement ladder. I had hired a little bit of admin, but not enough. So it bottlenecked me in sales. And here's, we hired people in customer support. We hired a great team in marketing, but we were doing founder-led sales. And I look back at the company that peaked out at $3 million, no matter what we did. We double prices. Our lead conversions would fall. We tried every marketing tactic you can imagine. We just kept staying at $3 million. And a lot of it was the plateau actually of me, the founder. So looking back in hindsight, the reason this company didn't become a $10 million company and the total addressable market and the tailwind that was of social selling easily could have supported a $10 million business. We just unfortunately didn't take advantage of it because we didn't step out of founder-led sales because I was working too much on $5 an hour tasks, thinking, well, this only takes
that's five right.
minutes. This only takes 20 minutes. I'll do this at night. So that's my yep. story of looking back. Where have you found in your business or businesses that by hiring virtual assistants or support teammates, you have unlocked either you've learned new skills to grow your business or you've doubled down on the skills you've had to hyper accelerate the growth of your business?
Almost in a very similar way. Like, so with our business Accountability Now, right? So we do business coaching and we have found this was a whole brand new element of our service, which is what we call fractional COO work, right? So here we do business coaching and so many of our clients kept coming back to us and saying, you know, we would love it if you would just run our operations. Could you come in and just run the business fractionally for the next 8 months or for the next year? And that's very intensive work, right? And you know, it would be easy for us to say, yeah, we would for $500,000, right? Like we'd be happy to. but they couldn't afford to have us do that. And so we started to think through that. How could we do that at a price they could afford and at a time commitment that we could afford? And I believe in the same model you believe in. Is there a way that we could do that with the right virtual assistant team underneath it? And so I've had very smart people on our team, and we built a model where we created a fractional COO team where we have really brilliant fractional COOs, these senior partners who now have multiple engagements. Now they have almost a dozen fractional COO engagements, but they have a fleet of VAs underneath them who are doing data analysis, marketing analysis, and they're actually doing the day-to-day engagement through Slack, Teams, you name it. I mean, they're chatting with people all day long through Asana, through Monday, through all these project management tools. And then meeting management and all these things are done through the senior operators at the top. We could have never have done that.
Your gross margins must have scaled dramatically, because now instead of creating your operating budget, one fractional COO working on one account, you could spread them, say, to three. Now you're collecting revenue of
six.
Three against one. It's six. Yeah, exactly.
So there's your finance mindset went right where mine went. Yeah. So the gross margins skyrocketed through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know, it wasn't all just personally selfish. It came because the clients came back to us and kept saying, we have a big need. Can you just run the operation? We love what you're doing from a coaching side, but now we have a problem. We need somebody who can just run the operations, and we want them to run it the way, you know, you're familiar with Traction and Gino Wickman's work and all that kind of stuff. And so they, and I'm not speaking negatively about Traction, but they didn't like the intensity of what Traction was requiring them to do. They wanted a hybrid model of a little bit of Traction, but more flexibility. And so we were like, okay, we can run part of Traction, but more focus on growth and scale. And so that's where they wanted it. And because of what you've talked about, we thought we can do this fractional COO work. And since we rolled that out at the second quarter of last year, almost half of our revenue now comes from this fractional COO work with a fleet of VAs underneath it. And we would have never been able to do that if we hadn't understood the importance of outsourcing from that perspective, from an offshore perspective.
Well, with that, this has been fantastic. For the audience, please like and subscribe. Pass this episode and this podcast on to your friends. Don, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being a guest. And where can people reach you?
Go to accountabilitynow.net. That's where you can find anything about us. And if you're trying to grow your business from 1 to 10 million, always reach out to us. And I'm on Instagram, executivecoach.don. You can find, we post content there every single day. And thank you for all your work. I wish more people had kind of your voice around, get your tasks out, try to free up and buy back your time with finding the right talent underneath you. It does a lot, not just for your business, but for better parts of the world. It makes a difference for them. It's an enormous blessing for those parts of the world. That's a really big, important part of it.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
You take care.